again. Those of you who might be visiting, I'm Pastor Doug. I definitely welcome you again to Warren Alliance. At this time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. We're going to be continuing today in walking with Joseph, and looking at the Joseph story, obviously with Missions Weekend, and then our special guest, Clem Huber, following weekend. We will wrap Joseph up in the story the weeks after that. But today we're going to be going still in Genesis 39. That's where we were last time when we looked at the temptation that Joseph faces with Potiphar's wife. But today we're focusing on a key theme that I really think is the whole theme in chapter 39, and the idea that God is with Joseph, even though the circumstances don't seem to align to that. You know, the idea, though, of God being with us or God being with someone or some group is a pretty common theme, and we see that even in our culture. I know there were people that probably believed that God was on one side or the other of one of the teams that played last Sunday night in the Super Bowl. As a Steeler fan, I think I know God's not with either of them, but no, I'm just joking. But that's first Super Bowl in years I had no desire to watch because I didn't like either potential outcome. But you know, when I think about, I mean, obviously I'm joking. As much as I love the Steelers, I really don't think God cares one way or the other. And the reality is there are people who love Jesus on both teams and every team in the NFL, most likely, except for maybe a few. Anyways, I won't go there. But that idea, we even on a local level, we think, well, we need to pray for our team. We want God to be with the team. And I know I've had the times I've been asked to pray for a sports team, and I pray for good success. I pray for them to play well, and I pray for them to be safe. But I really don't believe that God really is concerned about the outcome of a game. But when I think about that idea, I think that's a theme that we see all through the scriptures, though, of God's people knowing that for them to find blessing and to find success, they needed God to be with them. And this is one of those messages that I will give the disclaimer up front. For us to give a good biblical message about what the Bible teaches about blessing and prosperity and trying to navigate all the nonsense that you might hear on TV today from those that would fall into what I would call the prosperity gospel idea, we are not going to answer every question today. But, you know, when we look at Joseph and look at the account in chapter 39, I think we can see some incredible truths about God's blessing that comes from his presence. But also in light of Joseph's story, I think it's an incredible reminder and in some sense a corrective to some of the prosperity theology that's out there that gives us this notion that, well, as long as I'm walking with God and God is with me, I'm going to get the new car, I'm going to get the big house, or whatever form of that prosperity gospel that you see, that somehow God is going to bless us in ways that that seem real, very, very tangible and sometimes seem really selfish in what is presented. But the reality is the scripture does teach the significance of God's presence with us and a blessing that comes from that. And I think when we look at Joseph and look at his account, especially in light of chapter 39 and what he is experiencing, I think it gives us a good reminder of the importance of God's presence in our lives, the importance of seeking his blessing, and for him to give us favor in the world, in our workplace, or in wherever it is that God has us, not only for our blessing to experience blessing, but for those around us to be blessed. And so we're going to look at this today and keep that in mind. Again, remember, we're skipping a chunk of scripture that we already looked at in the account of Joseph with Potiphar's wife. That message, if you weren't here, is on the web if you want to check that out. But we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and we're going to jump down to the end of chapter 39 as well. Verse 1, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. And now Joseph, now this is obviously the transition. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And we know he's tempted. Potiphar's wife tries to encourage him to lie with him. And we see Joseph maintains his integrity. And again, I don't want to re-preach that message. But that all leads us then on to the rest of the story. We know Joseph, he lands on his feet. God puts him in a place of potential influence, and Potiphar, being the captain of the guard, God puts him there. So Joseph has been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. And we see that God's blessing is on Joseph, and he's so present with Joseph that you see not only a blessing for Joseph's sake, as the text says, we see it blessing Potiphar. I mean, really, it's like King Midas. Like, whatever Joseph touches, it's turning to gold. He's clearly, there's something about Joseph that even Potiphar sees. And the text says that Potiphar actually even sees that God is with him. So there's a clear theme that's introduced here that really is central to this whole story. But we know as we look, the story goes on to talk about the unfair treatment that Joseph experiences, even though he maintains his integrity and he doesn't lie with Potiphar's wife. He honors Potiphar. He honors his commitment to God. He's falsely accused. Ends up in jail. So he's gone from betrayed by his family to slave. Things seem to start turning around as best they can. You're still a slave. And now you're falsely accused and you land in prison. And that's where we pick up in verse 20. Verse 20 says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor." I love the emphasis there. We're not going to dive into as much of that when we start unpacking this a little more. But we've talked about God's steadfast love before, God's chesed. It's sometimes translated grace, favor. It's the idea of God's covenant loyalty, that no matter how many times we might fall short or we might not honor our commitment to him, God's covenant loyalty, his faithfulness, his steadfast love is unwavering. And so you see, God is with Joseph. He's blessed him with his faithfulness and steadfast love, and he's given him favor. He not only gave him favor with Potiphar, now he's giving him favor to the man in charge, the keeper of the prison. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it." The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Now, if you're Potiphar, you're the keeper of this prison, you pray someone like Joseph comes along. Someone you can trust, someone that you can put in charge of much, and you know the work's going to get done. And you're going to see blessing in that. We see that even though Joseph in this moment is a context of suffering and trial, God is clearly with Joseph. And he's working out his plan and his purpose. And that's really the key central truth here, is that God's presence, when you look at Joseph's life, it paints this truth that we see in other places in Scripture, that God's presence brings success or blessing. Because if you were to read this and say, well, why is Joseph successful? Why does everything touch that Joseph touches, Why does it go so well? The text is pretty clear. It's because God is with him. God is with him, and it's God's presence with him that's giving him favor. He not only is experiencing the favor of God, he's experiencing the favor of Potiphar. He's experiencing the favor of this keeper of the prison. God is working through Joseph. And it all comes back to that central truth that God is with him. Look at these words. See, some of the words that we just read, just to highlight this truth. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. There's a clear cause and effect here. He became a successful man. Why? Because the Lord, Yahweh, was with him. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. And then later, the keeper of the guard says, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. What's interesting as I reflected on this, you don't really see Joseph acknowledging that truth as much. I mean, this is a narration of the Joseph account in his story. But we do see later, when Joseph has his interactions with his family, that he can look back and see very clearly how God was with him and orchestrating everything to lead to the place where he would not only save Egypt from famine, but save his very family from famine. And so if you keep reading, I think it's in chapter 48, that he is having this conversation with his brothers, and he recognizes, look, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God was with me. But what we see is, what's interesting is, while we don't hear Joseph acknowledging that truth, we see Joseph, through his integrity with the whole scenario with Potiphar's wife, we see him being faithful to his God. He's being faithful to the Lord. And other people are recognizing God's presence in his life. You know, one of the things that we think of that truth, and again, we read through the Psalms, we see it all through the Scriptures, that idea of that to really find a blessed life and find that fullness that God wants us to experience, it comes through a relationship with him where we know his presence, where we know that God is with us. Going way beyond our idea of sports teams to the idea of saying, I want to be in a place where my life is surrendered to him, and that I know his presence, and that I'm walking according to his ways. But you know, this notion of wanting to know God's presence, knowing that if I have God's presence in my life, it might bring success. I love the fact that there are places in Scripture that also warn us to say, don't look at God as your good luck charm. That somehow I want the blessing, so I'm going to somehow use God to get that blessing. Because most likely the blessing you're seeking may not be the blessing God wants to give you. But it's also a very inaccurate view of how God works with his people. One of my favorite accounts, sometime down the road I may re-preach through 1 Samuel. I haven't done that here. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. But I love the account where the Philistines get a hold of the Ark of the Covenant. Why did the Philistines want the Ark of the Covenant? Because it represented God's presence. And so their thought was, if we get the ark, Yahweh's presence is going to be with us, and we will be victorious going into battle. And to be fair, the Israelites viewed that as they wanted the ark with them, because they wanted God's presence with them in battle. There's some incredibly fascinating a few chapters in 1 Samuel where literally the Philistines are tortured by the presence of God in their midst. And to the point where they were like, we don't want this ark anymore. So they send it back. But that illustrates, I think, very clearly that if we think that God is our good luck charm, if we think that we're going to use God to get some form of blessing that we're seeking, we're missing the context of being invited into a relationship with God, our Creator, in which we surrender our lives and he will be with us and work through us. And there will be blessings that will come. There, we will find success in what we do, but it may not be the blessing and the success that you expected. And so we need to remember that corrective. But the truth is clear. There's no way to read this passage without acknowledging this truth, that God's presence brings Joseph success and blessing. And we see that principle throughout Scripture. And if we had more weeks to talk about the idea of blessing and prosperity, you'll see that there are passages that speak to that truth, but then there are also passages that address the issue of those that are wicked experiencing blessing in this life. And it challenges some of the ideas to say that if you're walking with God and God is with you, that you're never going to face hardship or heartache. But staying with Joseph, the reality is this Joseph story gives us that same reminder. That while God is with Joseph and God is using Joseph, Joseph is in the midst of a trial. He's been betrayed, he's now a slave, and then ends up in prison. I have not heard too many TV preachers give that as an example of a blessed life. And yet, the text tells us clearly that God is with Joseph, and God knows the end of the story and how he's going to use Joseph to not only save his family, but to bless the nation, specifically Egypt and those around him. But before we get to that idea, I think it's important that we do look at some of the scriptures, though, that speak to the truth of how God's presence is known. If we know that we need God's presence in our lives, we need to be in relationship with him, where we're walking in his presence, and we could have people look at our lives and say, I know that God is with you. I mean, do you want that in your life, that not only you would know it, but others would know it, that God is with you? Some of the consistent themes that we see is that throughout the scripture is that to really know God's presence in this way, you have to seek him. And you have to be walking in his ways or in his commandments. And let me read some of the scriptures that speak to that. 2 Chronicles 26:5, and I have in parentheses, I added the name of who we're talking about here. He, being Uzziah, set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. You have also in 2 Chronicles 31:21, you have Hezekiah. And again, if you go back, these are some accounts where you see some kings followed after God, walked with God, and God was with them, and others didn't walk with God, God wasn't with them. These are two of the examples of those that were with, that were following after God, that were seeking after God. Verse 21 of chapter 31 says, and every work that he, Hezekiah, undertook in the service of the house of God, in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all of his heart, and he prospered. God's word to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And obviously that theme, I know some of you, one of your favorite psalms is Psalm 1. Psalm 1, the first few verses especially highlight this theme again. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This image of the life that is blessed is described as that tree planted by water receiving all that it needs to thrive. Those two themes are in all those verses we just read, that to really know God's presence, to know that God is with us, we have a heart that seeks after God. We have a heart that wants to walk according to God's way, walk according to God's commandments. From a Christian perspective, it's coming to the point that we're not only putting our faith in Jesus and trusting him for salvation, but that we're laying down our lives to follow Jesus, to walk in the way of Jesus, to live the life that he has called us to. So here today, we picked on the Philistines a little bit ago and looking at 1 Samuel. I want to encourage you to say, if you're here today and you want to know that God is with you and that you want to know his presence in a way that would bring you blessing and bring you success in whatever it is that you're doing, we need to remember that we need to not use God as a good luck charm. We don't need to use God. God wants a relationship. He wants us to pursue him. Years ago, I was up at NIAC, Rob Reamer, who I know some of you have read some of his books, he was at Mahaffey this last summer, but for a while Rob was my spiritual coach and really was challenging, and through the course I took with him up at NIAC. But there's a number of things that he has said that have caught my attention in my own heart, and one of the things that really stood out to me was when he challenged this idea of just seeking the blessing. And he said, you want to seek God's face, not his hand. And I think I've shared that before, but that image is so important to me, that we seek God's face, which is about relationship. We don't seek his hand. I mean, as a parent, sometimes we can think our kids just want to come and seek our hand for what money we're giving out, or we're giving them something they need. And a parent knows that they want their child to come seeking their face. Time, relationship. If you really want to know God's presence, make sure that we're not pursuing the blessing, not pursuing the thing that we might receive from God, and make sure that our focus is on pursuing him. We keep moving on. Again, looking at the Joseph account, I think there's two main correctives to the prosperity gospel that's out there that many guys, if you're flipping through the TV channels, are going to hear. Kind of this unfiltered idea of saying, well, if I do this, God will do this. Like kind of very mechanical. And that I'm going to be blessed. Two of the correctives to this, I think, are seen in this Joseph account. And one is in the fact that Joseph in this story, while he's being described as being one who God is with, and that he's finding success and finding blessing in all that he does, it's in the midst of trial. It's in the midst of suffering. And so the challenge for each of us is to realize, while God wants to bless and God wants us to find success and God wants us to know his favor and experience this type of a blessed life, you may be experiencing blessings that were not the blessings that you expected. Joseph, again, remember, his success came during the trial. He's been betrayed. He's been a slave. He's now unjustly accused and a prisoner. How many of you, if you say this is going to be the blessed life, want to sign up based on that resume? None of us. And yet Joseph, in this moment, is described as being blessed. And we see that those around him are seeing there's something different about this guy. And even the foreigner is recognizing God is with him, even though they may not know Joseph's God. Imagine yourself in Joseph's shoes. You've been betrayed by your brothers. You've been a slave in a foreign land. You honor God in facing temptation, and yet you're still falsely accused, and you end up put in prison. Does this sound like a blessed life? No. And yet God is with him. You know, as I first was thinking of this message today and the phrase of God is with us and God with Joseph, I immediately thought to one of the other themes that we see with this is that having God with us is a comfort, an encouragement to know we're not alone. Like in the psalm that we read today, Psalm 23:4. Tells us again, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But here, I believe God being with Joseph, Joseph, even though it's not highlighted, would have been experiencing that strength and that support. What we see throughout the book of Psalms, that God's presence is described as being a refuge, a fortress. That when we know God is with us, we can find that encouragement, we can find that support. But what's emphasized with the Joseph story is that God being with Joseph is the explanation of why everything that Joseph touches succeeds. He's successful in all of his endeavors. And so Joseph reminds us that even though he's suffering, even in the midst of that pain, God can bless in the midst of the trials. Last week I shared in kind of introducing the sharing time, my own thing that God has been pointing out to me in the last few weeks was when I was on my prayer retreat 2 weeks ago, I was reading a guy talking about looking at the Gethsemane passage and Jesus wrestling with taking the cup of suffering and choosing to be obedient to the Father's will in that. And the author was talking about the fact that one of the reasons that Jesus was able to do that was Jesus had a relationship with the Father. He knew his Father was good. And it's brought me back as I was reflecting on that, of realizing in my own life in recent days, I have focused too much on the cup of suffering that I've experienced, which is not the same as what Jesus experienced, but there is a parallel here in thought. I focus too much on the suffering and not enough on the ways in which God has blessed. And we all can fall into that. Instead of being the Tigger or the Eeyore, Winnie the Pooh fans, we can see the cloud in every rainbow. We need to be looking at our life and ask ourselves, even if you're focused, you're going through a difficult time, pause and say, okay, if God is with me, where is he blessing? And what is he doing? In the midst of your trials, you can know God's presence. Not only for support, but you can know God's presence in a way that God is going to work in your life and use you to not only bless you, but to bless others. And that leads us to this, what I think is the second corrective in this passage. The second corrective of this idea of some of the twisted ideas of prosperity that you often hear people teach and preach is that really the blessing, as much as Joseph is experiencing the blessing, who are the primary beneficiaries of this blessing? It's Potiphar. Potiphar's household, this guard of the prison who doesn't seem to have to do anything anymore as Joseph's doing his job, and then goes on to actually describe over the next few weeks when we get back to Joseph, we're going to see God works through Joseph to interpret dreams, and he's put in a place of actually interpreting Pharaoh's dream, and you see Pharaoh's household blessed and all of Egypt blessed, which really reminds us of God's promise to Abraham when he called him. Remember, in Genesis 12, God promised to not only bless Abraham, but that through him he would bless the nations. Joseph really is the first example of this that we see. That God is not just thinking about Joseph. He's not just thinking of Jacob and all of his sons and the family that he has called to represent him in this world. He's thinking of the nations. There's a shared blessing here, and I think that challenges this idea of using God to get at some blessing that we want, something that we want to say, well, I'm going to use God. I want him to be with me so I can be successful towards this end, when we understand that the blessing comes not just for our own benefit, but that blessing comes to overflow in our life so that those around us will be blessed. We look at those words, we remember, let's look at the sequence. Look at who all has been blessed in this story. Potiphar, Potiphar's household, the keeper of the prison, Pharaoh, Egypt, the surrounding nations, which also then include, and we're not there yet, but we'll know the rest of the story. Most of you know the rest of the story. We see in that Joseph is blessed and Joseph's family is blessed by being saved. And yet we see Joseph as an example of someone who walked with God, was faithful to God, and God was faithful to him. And even in the midst of a challenging situation and circumstance, God was with him and blessed him, and that blessing overflowed to the lives of those around him. Today, as I close, I want you to think about that in your own life and also in the life of our church. As I was thinking of that, a verse that kept coming to my mind from Jeremiah 29:7, in God's word to Israel when they're getting ready to be exiled, he tells them this. He says, Jeremiah 29:7, I don't think I have this on the screen. He says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have set you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. I mean, the verses prior to that is like, look, you're going to be there for a while. Make a home, take wives, live. But understand that you need to seek the welfare of the city where God has planted you. Remember Abraham's call. God called Abraham to not only bless Abraham, but to bless the nations through him. God never pours his blessings into our lives and stops there. God wants to bless. He wants us to know his presence, to know that he's in with us. He wants us to know we've been blessed, but that blessing needs to overflow into the lives of those around us. And so my vision for our congregation and my vision for your life is that you would know God's presence in such a way in the coming days and weeks and months that you will have a confidence to know God is with me. Not that you're trying to get to some end, some like using God, but that you just know God's presence. You know his encouragement. You know his support. And you know God is working in you and through you. I pray that for every one of you. But I pray that as we do that, that God is going to give you a special opportunity to bless some people in your life. A coworker, someone in the community, someone you may not even know yet. God is going to use you as you walk with him and experience his blessing. It's my prayer for each one of us that we would see God's blessing work through us into the lives of someone else, but we need to be willing to do that. So as we close and in a moment invite the worship team to come, I want to encourage you to keep in your own heart and your own life the desire to seek after God, walk according to his way so that we might know his presence, but then seek the Lord's presence and his blessing in your life, not just for yourself, but to lay down your life and say, God, use me. Like Abraham, like Joseph, let's make ourselves available so that God would not only bless us, but that God would use us to be a blessing to someone else. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the truth of your word. And I thank you for the messy stories in the scripture. Lord, the stories that seem, Lord, to be here working with just real people. People that have flaws, people that have struggles. And yet we look at Joseph as in his example, and it would have been so easy for Joseph to give up. It would have been so easy for Joseph to sit and to pout and wonder where you were. And yet, Lord, we know that you were with Joseph. You were with him, and you were blessing him, and you were blessing his work, and you were putting him and orchestrating a plan and a purpose for him to put him in a place to not only bless Pharaoh, but to bless the nations. Lord, help us to be faithful in our own lives, Lord. Lord, to seek after you. Lord, I pray that we would not seek what we receive from your hands, but that we would seek your face to really know you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've made the way for us to know you through a relationship with Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for providing the forgiveness and the new life that we can find in him so that we might walk with you and know your presence in our lives. Well, Lord, help us to live in such a way that we not only celebrate your presence and celebrate your blessing, but, Lord, help us to have eyes to see those around us that need you. Lord, use us to be a blessing to someone else this day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.